This is FM 2.0 with the Don, Dean, Stormy, and the Grizz. Forever music.
Mark?
What's going on, y'all?
What's up, man?
How's it going? Thanks for having me tonight.
That's good. Good, man. It's great to have you.
Thanks for having me.
I've got, you know, we're here to talk about your songs, too.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
Yeah, man. Well, that's what it's all about. Now, you... some of your songs, right?
Yeah.
I saw that, like, this one that we're going to talk about, you wrote with David Brainerd, right?
Yeah. Great friend of mine. Love Dave.
Country hitmaker. And Steve O'Brien.
Steve O'Brien, he wrote one of my favorite Brooks and Dunn songs, Rock My World, Little Country Girl, that Kicks used to sing back in the day. And Dave used to produce, I'm going to forget the list, but Jared Neiman, he's done some, I think, Lee Bryce stuff back in the day. I can't remember, but Dave's unbelievable. Steve's unbelievable. And it's a fun one for sure. This is one of my favorite ones to sing live. The crowd loves it.
You know, and just looking back at you, like, you were born in Virginia, right?
Yeah, I was. Absolutely.
And then Maryland.
Yep.
Made your way to Nashville. So you got a lot of your Northeast, Mid-Atlantic thing going on.
Absolutely. And it's been cool. And then I went to school in North Carolina over at Wake Forest University. So we're going over this weekend to go do all the homecoming stuff and go play a bunch of shows over there. But that whole kind of, you know, East Coast, Mid-Atlantic side of things, that's where we tour a lot. We had got a lot of people up there, a lot of family up there. And it's been a weird kind of, up then down then over and then all over the place. And I think we hit 27 states so far this year in 2023, something like that. So we've been all over the place. But yeah, it's been fun.
We're in Virginia.
Originally born in Richmond, then we moved to Ashburn, Virginia, right after that. And I only lived in Richmond for about 2 years.
I used to live in I went to high school in the Bedford area around Lynchburg.
Very nice.
Now, it's funny you talked about that Brooks and Dunn song. And one of the first things I picked up on, which we were just talking about earlier, you've captured that 90s country sound as well.
Thank you. We're trying.
I'm loving it.
Thank you. I grew up on all that stuff. So, I mean, for me, the first CD I ever had, I stole it out of my grandmother's Cadillac in 2004. It was that blue Alan Jackson CD. It's got the big hat on it. It's the blue background. Yep. I stole it. I loved it so much. I just took it right out and I found the case in our house somewhere and I just ran away with it. I'm like, this is mine now. And I still have it actually, which is pretty funny. But that was all my dad, you know, paid his way through high school and college playing music. So I grew up on the old Eagles stuff to start and then Elton John and Billy Joel and all that kind of great, great, awesome classic rock music. And then, you know, when I was 4 or 5, they started just putting on Alan Jackson and Brooks and Dunn and Garth and George and, you know, all those great acts that I still love today. I like to go back to all that stuff. I think it's the best music that we've done as an industry is kind of that 90s, early 2000s sound. A lot of that, you know, Rascal Flatts, even, you know, pushing into the 2000 stuff, you know, What Hurts the Most. Like, how do you not love that songwriting? It's unbelievable.
Well, it makes me so happy because we had Orlando Mendez on and I heard the 90s vibe there. And then David Adam Burns was just on. And then, you know, so I'm like, we're going back.
Yeah. Yes.
Trying. I'd literally just left. That's why I was running in here. I'm like, oh my God, I hope I make it. We were down at the CMA. In Nashville, they had an event tonight. We were talking about that for a lot of it, where people are going with music nowadays. Cause it's so, you got some people going so hard pop. They talked about, there's a lot of Latin artists actually coming into country. They were talking about 90s country. So it was really cool seminar about that stuff, but yeah.
That's awesome.
I got to tell you, I'm sitting here listening to your speaking voice and your face. You would have fit in so well in the 80s rock scene with your voice, your speaking voice. You have like a Sebastian Bach.
I agree. I can hear that.
You storm me? I'm like sitting here, like closing my eyes, going, he sounds like he could be on 80s rocker. Like I could hear him with Ricky Ratman.
Oh my God.
On remember that metal?
Hey, what was
that?
Ball? Oh, yeah.
Banger's Ball.
Oh, yeah.
With your talking voice.
The only thing I have is a face for radio. But that's, you know. I talked
a lot. Did you ever listen to 80s rock? Did you ever listen to 80s
rock? Absolutely. Are you kidding me? All the 80s hair bands stuff. Oh my God. Like, that was. So my grandfather actually, it was cool. My grandfather had an old jukebox that we'd have in our basement. It's still in my parents' house today. And it was from 1979. And it was original 45s. And the last year they updated it was like 86, I think, or something like that. But it still works. We go down there and I know like 124 is like, she may be right. Billy Jean. And I'm so like, you walk down there and I'm like, this is what I would do. I just go in the basement and all that old 80s stuff. It's like, to me, that whole era is just the best. Like that, you know, 1979 to like, you know, 1999 was like the era.
Agree.
Yeah. Watch it with the old 80s stuff.
Me too. Thanks for making me feel so old. He said, what, 2004? In 2004, you were what, 4 or 5? Is that what you said?
I was late 99, so I caught the end of 99. But, I just turned 24.
Wow.
Those
that's how old my youngest is. Yeah.
There you go. Yeah, see? So, yeah, well, that was... So, I mean, like I said, man, you could easily, like, if you grew some long hair, throw on like a long haired wig.
We're working on it, man.
Dude, I would totally buy it. Like, you could go out and do a tribute, man.
Well, thank you.
The whole Steel Panther thing going on.
The Steel, yeah, exactly. So, but your music is awesome. So let's get into your real music here. Yeah.
Thank you.
Let's start with Remember the Party.
Cool.
We're going to start with that. So let me play a clip here of the song. That's what we do here. We play a little bit of the music and then we talk about it. So here we go. I'm going to hit the share screen button here. Where is Remember the Party? And come back. Here it is. All right. So let's listen to a little bit of Remember the Party right here.
And up on the couch of my ex-girlfriend's. Back of my truck's full of traffic cones. And hell, I don't even wanna look at my phone. Cause there's a picture of me with a biker gang. I'm high-fiving an orangutan. Dang, there's me smoking 3 cigars. Putting this Kid Rock bumper sticker on a police car.
I love that. If you remember the party, were you really even there? Is a great friggin' line, and that is country music when you throw in these puns.
There we go. I was saying that. So that was
totally turned that into a 80s rock song.
There we go.
That needs a line dance. I could see the floor out on that one.
I love it. It was funny because we were. You know, we were trading stories. It was me, Dave, and Steve, and we pretty much write, you know, once every other month or something like that. We get together, and I had just graduated college. Like, I was fresh out of college. I didn't know anything about what I was doing, and we were just trading funny stories about college, and talking about different festivals we'd been to in college. It just, you know, we started talking, and Dave's over there typing away, and you know, I let him go when he's doing that. I'm like, oh, he's working on something, and we're just trading funny stories or whatever, and Dave looks at me and goes, you know, if you remember the party, were you really even there? And I'm like, oh my God. And then we just went off to places and we're sitting there and we wrote that probably in 45 minutes after that. Cause we had so much fun. Cause we were just, you know, having so much fun. Oh my God. One time this happened to a friend, like, hey, just crazy stories, but yeah, it's a fun one. And we play the Listening Room it was last Friday. Actually, I played it at the Listening Room in Nashville and, the crowd just erupted. It was hysterical because all the bachelorettes sitting there were, oh my God, that's me this weekend. But no, it was.
So has anybody gone on the floor and gotten like the achy breaky started or something? Cause that's a line dance song. No, right there.
I'm waiting for you. Yeah, we haven't, honestly, it's been out for what, a month now or something like that, but we haven't done a ton of full band shows since it's been out. Cause we were on the road. I'm sure we'll talk about it. We were on the road extensively throughout the whole summer. We kind of had a month to kind of chill a little bit, but this weekend's our kind of first full band. We're doing all colleges. So we're doing about 1,000 cap venue in North Carolina tomorrow, another 500 cap venue the next night. And then we're playing outside the stadium at Wake Forest for the big tailgate on Saturday. So it's going to be awesome.
So where in North Carolina are you going to be tomorrow?
Thursday, not tomorrow. It's the Last Resort in Winston-Salem, North Carolina.
Okay.
And then we're at a place called the Fat Frog on Friday night. In Elon, North Carolina, Elon University. And then we come back to Wake for the Wake versus the Pittsburgh Panthers football game. We're going to be playing that.
I need to see it. I should see if I, I'm in North Carolina. I should see,
okay.
See if
okay. I can, cool. Yeah. Well, come on by. Probably but
about an hour and 15 to an hour and a half away okay. from where you're going to be.
Okay. Very nice. Yeah. Well, I'm waiting on the college kids to see what happens. They might bust out in some line dancing or achy breaky heart or whatever, but I'm excited. It's going to be a fun little run of shows with that song.
My wife will get it started. If we're there, she'll get out there on the phone. She'll get it started.
It'll be fun.
If you remember the concert, were you even really there?
Yes, that's a great tour name. I love that. There you go.
Yeah, there you go. That's right. There. If you remember this concert, were you even really there?
I love it. I love it.
There you go. Get it. If you remember this shirt, if you remember you bought this shirt, did you ever really buy it? That'd be the.
Portion. I love it. I love it.
Yeah, keep me around. I won't sell anything. All right, so here is Dust Off That Dirt. Let's play a little bit of this here. This is Dust Off That Dirt. We're going to talk about that here next. And think about what you want to say when you listen to the song. And look at this face. Let's just start with that. It's very Elvis of Mark right here. Like, look at that. And that's a nice Fender Strat or Telecaster. Oh, that's them. I think it's a Telecaster. Here we go.
You've been stuck anywhere but mud. Been way too long since you've seen the sun. Set over them southern pines into a backwoods bonfire night. If your red wings are a little too clean, ain't putting no middle of nowhere miles on that off-white Jeep. You know where you gotta be. It's time to dust off that dirt. I'd tame it to the outskirts. I trade four walls.
God, there's another person you remind me of looks wise. All right, this is freaking me out for a minute here. First of all, an incredible song. We're going to dip back. Now, Stormy might be able to relate to this, but he has a Jeff Tate look to his face, Stormy. Do you notice that?
He does. He does.
Do you know who that is, Mark?
Not. I'm going to be honest.
There's a band called Queensryche, which is okay. A band that we all love.
Really, the square jaw.
Yeah, like his face. Like I was looking at him. Oh, my God. Set.
Yep. I can see that.
Funny. It's a compliment, man, because
oh, thank totally. You. Appreciate it. Thank you.
He's one of the greatest rock singers to ever exist.
There we go. See, it's a nice compliment.
There you go.
Now, yeah. That song's got an Outlaws vibe to it for me. I mean, there's a nice hint of some Southern rock there.
Intentionally, and thank you. I wanted something. I wrote it with my buddy Dan Harrison. And, from Winston-Salem. Very nice. Go Deeks. Wrote it with my buddy Dan Harrison, and we were looking for just a, pardon my French, but a kick-ass show opener. I wanted something where everyone's going to come out dancing, and we can turn the guitars up to 11. There's a movie reference for you, but
Spinal Tap, yes.
There you go. But no, I wanted something that, because I mean, I grew up. I mean, I was everything from rock bands in high school to pop bands. I was a Frank Sinatra impersonator for a little while. I did.
Get out of here!
Get out of here! Oh, you can sing like Frank?
No, that was why I didn't have the gig for very long. But I attempted to sing like Frank, but you know, my influences kind of come from all over the place, and all I wanted to do was, you know, get people out dancing. And that song, we're a loud band to begin with. And I have, it's my band's actually my band from high school, and they're big, loud dudes. And we get out there and just, it's loud and it's fun. Everybody come on the dance floor. Let's do this thing. But yeah, I mean, we wanted a show opener. We actually then moved it to a show closer. And now remember the party's the show opener, but yeah, it's been cool. It's been a really fun song. We got added to a bunch of radio stations. We did a little bit of a radio tour with that. I mean, it really changed my career in a lot of ways, you know, having that song out, and it's killed it on Spotify. I keep seeing it in more places. I mean, it's been featured in so many different things. It's been such a blessing in my life to have that song, you know, out and doing what it's still doing today. It's been out for 3 months now. It's still chugging right along. So it's been very cool.
Yeah. Great vibe. Great vibe.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Chugga chugga.
There you go.
Chugging along, man. Well, you got it going. Now, I want to bring up something. I've had Molly Lovett on the show
before. Sure. Yeah.
She's going to come back soon. You did a song together with her with the holiday season approaching. I mean, they're already selling Christmas stuff in the store.
It's crazy.
Hope in the Snow. And I know Stormy loves Christmas music. Right. Mm-hmm. I want you to hear this song. Okay. I'm going to put up what Ashley. Now, Ashley's streaming this to TikTok, so you'll see a lot of her.
There we go.
Repeating what people are saying there.
I love it.
There you go. Well, let's do this. I know, as I said, Stormy loves holiday songs. This could be one that could be in rotation, Stormy. So let's play this right here. I love this. This is Hope in the Snow. I think it's very beautiful. Molly is a great singer too. So here we go. Hope in the Snow is another song from Mark and Molly. Here we go.
Stockings and smiles are a thing of the past. Find hope in the snow. The starling December sky.
Why I love that is I wanted to showcase Mark's harmony ability, because you have a strong lead vocal, Mark, but there you're able to complement Molly's beautiful first of all. When Molly does that run where she goes, oh, that's amazing. But
Thank you
just come in nice and subtly.
Thank you.
And compliment her well. Yeah. So
thank you so much. Yeah, Molly was killer. That we wrote that. It was my first trip to Nashville, actually. Best Christmas Ever is a really awesome organization, and they supply Christmases for a lot of families in need all over the world. And they were like, we need a theme song. And then we were like, sure. So we got together and wrote that. It was a super quick write. I had this idea on my phone for a while, Hope in the Snow. I'm like, I don't know what the heck to do with this. And it was perfect for it. And we wrote it pretty quickly and took it in the studio with my producer, Leland Grant. And it was really cool to watch a lot of the videos of the kids, like, hearing the song, it made Christmas a lot more special, I'll tell you what, than knowing that we had an impact on somebody else.
So the genesis of the song started with you.
Yeah. I mean, well, my Nicole reached out, my publicist reached out with, she connected us with the folks in Best Christmas Ever, but it was funny. I mean, I had that title in my phone for a while and we wrote it.
Hope in the Snow. So what, where made you type that into your phone?
I still want to do that to this day. I have no idea. But It sounds kind of rhymey, Hope in the Snow. It sounds close enough. But yeah, I mean, Molly killed it, obviously, with the vocals and with the writing. And it was a really special song for us. And I hope it makes a resurgence this year. We'll see. But I mean, hopefully people find it.
Well, we need positive stuff right now.
Holy Absolutely, we do. It's
an tired of it. Message. Tired of it. I want happiness, dude.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, let's look at this guy's smile on this song, because it's his artwork.
Oh, God.
I'm Down is the song.
Oh, there we go.
I'm Down. Well, let's play a little bit of I'm Down for everybody. And here it is. Let me get the audio queued up here. This is I'm Down. Check this song out. Here we go.
And if you're having doubts, girl, I had them too. But I swear to God, I never stop loving. I got Thomas Red on the radio with enough drinks to go around. If you're up for coming over, girl, you know that I'm down. Forget about the bad times, remember the good, just like I think you should. Honey, why don't you come back to me? I got enough love to go around. Girl, I'm down.
You know, I love that. I have very, like, an Ed Sheeran-y thing to it where that could easily be on pop radio too, Keith Urban style. But also, I want to bring up too, you seem to love your Fenders.
Always.
I was going to gear geek with you too on that.
Go ahead.
There's a long story. So I collect old vintage guitars. Actually, sitting.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, what do you got in there?
Look at this on camera. So this is a 1949 Southerner Jumbo from Gibson. This is the studio guitar. There's a couple old J45s behind me somewhere. In that case is my writing guitar, which is an old 66 LG1 that's been modified a little bit. That telly you saw, that yellow telly, is a original 70. No, not it's original 70, 1970 Telecaster. The Strat is an 88 American Standard, and there is a 69 Area Pro 2 back there, I think, as well.
Is that the Sunburst one we saw?
Yes.
Is it a Cardinal Area Pro 2 Cardinal?
No, it's back. I have to go find it, actually. It's back there somewhere. I have to go look, but I don't know if it's Cardinal or not.
I like to geek. I got a 62 Gibson OM1 there.
Cool. Yeah.
And I got my 69 Rick 360 right there.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Love to gear geek.
Absolutely.
You don't know how cool it was. I don't know if you know who Trevor Rabin is. He's one of the greatest. He basically wrote Yes is 90125.
Wow.
He's just been in Yes and a lot of things.
Cool.
So when he joined the interview we did, first thing he did is look behind Dean, and he started nerding out on his guitars. And I thought, how cool is that? Like,
yeah.
Here's Trevor Rabin staring at these guitars.
Here's how bad it is. I'm watching a video yesterday, and I immediately start text because it's a Motley Crue video, and I immediately text Stormy. It's like, hey, what radius neck does your dad use on the slide guitar?
That's so funny.
And I got a half an answer today. This morning was a half an answer.
That's so funny. Oh, that's hysterical. Yeah, I mean, it's something, and especially being in Nashville, it's like, you know, my buddies all work at Carter. So I walk in there, and I'm wearing the hat even today. But like, you know, you walk in there and it's like you can play a $500,000 guitar and it's nothing in Nashville. But, you know, I collect them all when I can afford them. But they sound great in the studio. There's a whole nother. This is my just studio guitars in here. There's a whole in our trailer. There's a whole all of my other actual road guitars that stay in there sometimes. But
It's funny you say the Area Pro 2. Probably one of the greatest playing guitars I ever had was an Area Pro 2 Cardinal, which it wasn't expensive. It was cheap. I traded it in for something else. I've regretted it ever since because I've never found another guitar that played as well as that one.
Well, and the humbuckers were hand-wired back in the day. So mine literally has one knob on it, and you turn it. It's just a volume knob. The tone is preset. So it's like, when I'm on stage, like the last thing I want to take everything that can go wrong out of the equation. So
have you found that the tone stacks, like this right here was the first amp that I built. Yeah. And what I learned through the process is I hate tone stacks. Tone stacks ruin everything for me. So get rid of it and use your guitar and some effects pedals to get the sound you want.
It's all in the hands and the guitar. That's all. I mean, there's a custom that we can nerd out later, but there's a custom amp my buddy made for me. And it's the same thing. It's a pedal platform amp. It's like, let your hands and the guitar actually do the work. You know, as long as you got something good that it's going to come out of there, you know, you can handle the rest of it. But we can nerd out off camera.
Yeah. Sorry, Don.
No. Nerding out is what it's all about, man. It's music.
There you go.
So we talked about Remember the Party.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, out now.
It is.
What is queued up for you? Like, do you have some, like you said in your phone, what other titles do you have in your phone that you haven't come up with an idea for yet? Maybe I can write it right now.
If I tell you, I have to kill you. That's the problem.
No.
Very classic line. No, I mean, honestly, like, you know, it's like today, for example, I wrote with Leland Grant and Danny Myrick. Danny wrote She's Country for Al Dean, and I Love This Life. And
She's Country.
And they're both awesome. But like, we all showed up with three different things we wanted to write today. So like I had a couple things prepared. They all had a couple things prepared. Leland said his idea first. We love that. Danny says this idea, which we wrote today. I'm not going to spoil it because I don't know what's going to happen with it yet. But he said it out loud. And I'm like, oh, my God, forget everything everyone else has said. That's what we're doing. And we did it. And it was cool. But like you can walk in. I mean, I was so dead set on a couple things we were going to write today. I'm like, oh, my God, I have it. This is going to be great. And then Danny walks in and goes, nope, I got it. And we're like, OK, cool. But It depends on the day. I mean, truthfully, I could walk out like today. I was walking outside. I thought of like three different titles. I'm like, okay, that could be cool if you spin it this way, whatever. But yeah, that phone can never go anywhere. I'll tell you what, because my life lives in that phone as a songwriter.
I hear you. I had this is before phones and technology. You mentioned how 80s. I'm old.
The 1900s. There you go.
Yeah, yeah. I had a notebook that I would write my lyrics in. Yeah,
absolutely.
And Grizz, who sometimes is here. We were traveling and I had it with me because we were playing and I lost it.
Oh, God.
All these songs, all the lyrics I've written were in this notebook and I could not find it. And I was depressed and I was sad. Yeah. I'm like, I'll never find it again.
Yeah.
And sure, it must have fallen in the room underneath something.
Oh, no.
And it was like 3 weeks later and I called the hotel like, oh, yeah, we found it. They mailed it to me.
Oh, my God.
But that's the same equivalent. Like if you lose your phone.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Notebook, it was gone. And I kept thinking, like, what if there's one song and one second I'm listening and then Bon Jovi has a song on the radio? Like, yep. That's my fucking
song. Here, check this. What do you think? I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
So one of my daughters a couple of years back was playing video games on my computer where I have my DAW and I keep all the songs in my, it got hacked and the hacker wiped everything out. All the songs, the hard disk that I had backed up to it, wiped it all out. Yeah. It's
awful. It's awful.
Man.
Yeah. So hold on to that phone.
Yeah. I mean, and now I have everything backed up. Thank God.
Back it up, man.
It's all backed up, but I mean, at this point too, it's like, and just as a songwriter as well, it's like, been very fortunate. We've had some songs that have just been sitting on a hard drive somewhere then that got recorded later by different artists. And if that goes away, it's like, how are you going to, how are you going to find that song to send to that artist when they're looking for stuff? But
No, are you on TikTok? They're asking.
I am. It's Mark Taylor Country. Everything across.
Mark Taylor Country, Ashley.
Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, MySpace, LinkedIn, Messenger, Pigeon, all the above. Smokestacks, just search Mark Taylor Country.
Did you get it, Ashley? Mark Taylor Country.
Mark Taylor Country. There we go.
Well, tell me, as a songwriter, what's one of the most unique moments where you got inspired? Like, for example, I have moments where I was at, I'll never forget, I was at an Outback Steakhouse. You know what those are? Okay. And the light flickered.
Sure.
Of the table. Sure. And I asked the server for a pen and I had a napkin and I wrote an entire song in 10 minutes.
That's awesome.
Just on that light flicker.
Absolutely.
Triggered a whole thing. And I had this flow of consciousness. Yeah. Have you had that?
All the time. And us songwriters, like, it's so funny because if we're watching a movie or what, you could just be in conversation. If someone says something that's different, I mean, I won't say what it was, but it happened tonight. Someone said something in this panel and every songwriter in the room started doing that. They picked up their phones right away and started typing it because that's just how we operate. If something says something cool, we go. But
does that create some pressure when you see everybody else doing that? You're like, oh, I got to do this first then.
Especially in this town, I'll tell you what, because you're always going to, this town is nuts for that stuff because you just need to beat. There was an artist. I had a song that I wrote and it was submitted to somebody. And then 4 weeks later, a song with a different artist and it was a different spin on it. It wasn't my song. And I can tell you that for a fact, cause I know the guy, but that song was out on the radio and I'm like, oh my God, I just wrote that title. Like, but you never know. And like, sometimes there's similar titles that have different spins on things. And the song, you can kind of see the guitar right here, that Just Before the Dawn song I wrote for Wei Jennings. It's on radio right now. And like, how many songs are there called Just Before the Dawn? Like, here's, but ours was a different spin. So like, it depends. I mean, it's a crazy songwriting industry. And you think about how many people are writing on Music Row every single day. Someone's bound to have said the same thing twice. You know what I mean? Someone's bound to have written the same song within the month as you. So it's a race to radio. You just got to get it out first. You got to get it cut. You got to record it. You just got to get it out if you like it enough.
Do you find that there are clicks?
Yes.
There's clicks of art.
Absolutely.
Right?
Oh my God. It's not. Yeah.
It's like school. I can imagine Nashville's like school. Like,
well, and it's such a personal business. And like, I'll tell you right now, it's like, I'm going to speak on behalf of the town, most of the people in it anyway. If I have the choice of writing with my friends who I know I'm going to get at least a decent song with, or if I'm going to let a publisher put me with somebody new, I'm probably going to pick my friends over it. And just that's how human nature is. Like, I'm going to go where I'm comfortable. And, there's nothing wrong with introducing new people. I mean, that's part of what we're doing right now is they're walking me around to a bunch of new circles and be like, hey, what do you think about this? But I mean, a lot of the big artists you hear on the radio and you can figure out who they are when you look at the songwriter credits, write for the same people. So like, I know that if I'm writing with so-and-so, they could pitch my song to X artist or whatever. So it's all politics. It's all who you know. And it's all what rooms you can get into on Music Row.
Look at that.
Yeah.
Little inside baseball.
Insider baseball. It's all relationships. All of it.
Well, man, thank you.
Thank you.
You got great music. You just said there's a song on the radio with Wade Jennings.
Wade Jennings, his grandson. Yeah, I wrote it. It's in a big movie right now too, as well, called American Outlaws. And
what's the name of the song?
It's called Just Before the Dawn.
I'm going to play it.
Sure.
With everybody here, I mean, you got songwriting credit on it, right?
Yeah. Oh God. Yeah. This is a huge song for us right now. I think we're almost at 500,000 on this thing already. Yeah. And it's been out for like 2.5 weeks. It's been pushing it. Just Before the Dawn by Wade Jennings.
First on YouTube. W-A-D-E?
W-H-E-Y, like the whey protein. It's Waylon's grandson.
Oh, wait. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So Don's pulling that up.
Yeah.
Get an idea. The first guitar you grab, are you going with the single coil on the Strat? You going with a Tele and the lipstick? Or are you going with a humbucker? What's just impulse?
Tele back pickup. And I learned this. Vince Gill teaches this trick in Nashville. You dial the tone back to about 9 o'clock on the Tele. The volume goes all the way up. But no, the Tele, because that thing, I mean, it's got, I didn't do it, but the guy before me put Fralin's in that thing. And it just sings. Oh my God.
But Vince Gill's got some potential. He could go somewhere.
One day he'll make it.
Yeah. One day we'll hear his name on the radio. No,
one day.
I love Vince Gill.
He's great.
His voice can sing me away anytime.
Oh, yeah, you're not too. How about on that Pure Prairie League song, Let Me Love You Tonight?
Oh.
Oh.
Right?
Pure Prairie League. I mean, Amy. I mean, come on. Like, that stuff is just.
Well, he sang. He was the voice on that song, Let Me Love You Tonight. When you hear that, you're like, oh, it goes right through you.
You know, Mark Knopfler approached him to join Dire Straits.
Did he really?
No way.
Really?
I think it was like 89, 88, 89, somewhere around there. And yeah, Vince is like, thanks. No, I'll do something else.
I'm holding out for the Eagles.
That would have been weird. Vince Gill with Eagles? Oh, heck yeah.
Oh,
he's with the Eagles. Yeah.
No. Oh, is he?
Yeah.
He's touring with the Eagles. Yeah. He's Glenn Frey of the group now.
I was going to say, because that high falsetto is about the same as.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You got it pulled up, Don?
Yeah, I'm going to do it right now. Here it is. This is Just Before the Dawn. Here we go. How about it? Let's hear this thing that's taken off right here. It's a first for all of us. Here it is. No wonder this song's taking off.
What the hell?
My goodness.
Wow.
I've seen him before, but not when his beard was that long.
Beard's long.
That just freaked me out. Like, I'm looking at Waylon Jennings.
I was going to say, the DNA runs pretty deep there.
Wow.
No, it's a special one. The label sent me this guitar for it as well, which I love. It's doing a thing right now, and it's been... We had no idea. I mean, we pitched that song to a movie. So it's in a movie called American Outlaws, which is available in like a bunch of theaters right now and on all the streaming services and whatnot. That was supposed to be it. And then they had Way sing it in the movie. And the label called, and they were like, oh my God. So they ended up making it the title track of the album. They named the record after it. They named the tour after it. It's the single off the album. Went to radio. All the merchandise has it on it. Like, it's been this crazy song that we wrote it in 45 minutes, an hour. Like, it was totally out of the blue. And that's how Nashville goes a lot of the times. But it's been changing all of our lives. And it's just the coolest thing in the world.
Did you write it after seeing the movie? Like, a lot of times artists will see them. So you watched the thing and then you came up with the concept for
the song. They gave us, and truthfully, they were like, we're submitting this at noon regardless. So they were like, chop, chop. And they called me at like 9 a.m. So I was like, all right. So I hopped on at like 10:30, 11, whatever. And we watched the 3 minutes that it was going to be. So we got 3 minutes of the movie, which is a long time in the movie. And they showed us that. And they were like, go. And I was like, all right. So we came up with that. And we had a couple of points, and the song was born, and we had changed a couple things here or there throughout. And my co-writers, Shane and David, on that one, it was really cool just to get it out in the world and, you know, watching what it's done right now. I think the YouTube video is like already at 250,000 or something like that. And then between radio, and he played it on Opry radio, and like it's been all over the place. I've been watching TV sometimes. They're playing the song, and it's cool. The movie won a bunch of awards at these all really big film festivals, and it's been unbelievable to see.
Yeah, I mean, man, that voice. As soon as the voice kicked in, I saw the comment, Dean, of I'm getting wailing goosebumps.
Yeah.
When I you probably saw me go like, oh yeah, my God, like, that just like was freaky.
Sounds just like Waylon. I mean, and that's what they said. They were like, we want this to sound like a Waylon track. Go. And I'm like,
holy
you did it.
Waylon track.
Wow.
You did
it. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Just the good old boys.
There you go.
Never meaning no harm.
You know what? Just when I was giving up hope that music was going in a direction I didn't like, you and several other artists are really making me happy.
That means the world. Thank you so much, Dean. I appreciate it.
Yeah, man. Well, yeah, if you're in North Carolina, get out there.
Come on out.
See them. Especially at the Wake Forest game. Who are they playing?
Pittsburgh Panthers. Homecoming.
Pitt Panthers.
Oh, the Pitt.
Yeah. So we'll see.
I'm going to have to see if I can take my stepmom, because that's her alma mater. Yeah.
Yeah, go to the game, watch Mark in the parking lot, eating kielbasa.
Yeah, come on.
You gotta get into those tailgate parties, man.
Come on.
Food, beer.
Absolutely.
All right. Mark, you're awesome, man.
Thank you all so much.
When you got new music, come back.
We'd love to have you. We will soon. I don't want to break anything yet, but there's some good stuff.
Breaking news.
Oh, yeah. It's coming. Don't worry. But, hey, thank you all so much. This was so much fun. And have a great week, y'all.
Pleasure, Mark.
Thanks, man.
Thank you. See you guys.
Have a good one.
You too. Bye.